Good evening, Truth Seekers. Mike Malloy here. Jesus, I can hardly be heard over the music. Hello! Welcome to the program. We're going to have to kind of back into the revelations that just seem to be coming at rapid-fire speed now about the depth of involvement of Dick Cheney in torture, in lawbreaking, and in deception. It's coming very quickly. It's coming... 2 and 3 different reports a day coming out now. I don't think it's going to be too much longer, relatively speaking, before Dick Cheney will be indicted. It's going to take an investigation first, and somebody in the Obama administration or in the Democratic Party in Congress is going to have the courage to stand for the rule of law and get the ball really rolling in a manner that will lead to indictments of this terrorist son of a bitch. But it's going to come. I have no doubt. Cheney will be the first target, and because he is a coward and a sneak and a rat, Cheney will roll over on just about everybody in the Bush administration, the Bush crime family, in order to cut a deal to keep his strung-together ass out of prison for the rest of his natural life. So don't give up hope. We will work our way into this topic again tonight. To me, it is one of the most serious problems, most serious areas for discussion that has ever existed certainly in my life as in radio or in media of any sort, possibly in my entire life. And in yours, whether we want to acknowledge that or not, it's the truth. You and I have never faced a potential crisis. The system under which we govern ourselves, no greater one than the one has been brought down on us by the Bush crime family, and especially the psychopath Dick Cheney. So we will talk about it a little bit tonight, more than a little bit later on in the program. But there's some other things here that I do want to cover a bit. I got an email today from Bjorn who writes, I found this and thought you might dig it too. It's a quote from Henri Matisse, the artist, and it says, "Ever since there have been men, generically speaking, ever since there have been men, man has given himself over to too little joy. That alone, my brothers, is our original sin. I should believe only in a God who understood how to dance." Ow, you gotta love that, don't you? Here's one you're not gonna like. This is from Imperial, California. This is front page New York Times, I think yesterday. And when I read the article, I swear to God, the only thing I could think of was Hitler Youth. You know, the Explorer Scouts. I was a Cub Scout, a Boy Scout, an Explorer, as were most of the young guys in my family, cousins and nephews and growing up. I say guys because we didn't have that many girls in the family. The Explorers is a coeducational program now. It's an affiliate of the Boy Scouts of America. It began about 60 years ago, and it's training thousands of young people now in skills used to confront terrorism, illegal immigration, and border violence. Yeah, the Explorer Scouts, merit badges, camping trips, out under the stars, Philmont, a scout ranch out west, not any longer. Explorers are being trained in skills used to confront terrorism, illegal immigration, and escalating border violence, an intense ratcheting up of the group's longtime mission, which is to prepare youths for life, for leadership roles, for consensus building. Now they are being trained for jobs like being police officers, border patrol agents, FBI agents, counterterrorism, CIA, DIA, the explorers. A sheriff's deputy in Imperial County, a guy named A.J. Lowenthal, this was in the Times the other day, yesterday, said this is about being a true-blooded American guy and girl. He says, this fits right in with the honor and bravery of the Boy Scouts. The training, which leaders say is not intended to be applied outside the simulated explorer setting, the training can involve chasing down, quote, illegal border crossers, end quote, as well as more dangerous situations that include facing down terrorists and taking out, quote, active shooters, end quote, like those who bring gunfire and death to college campuses. Now, this training is being applied to 14 and 15 and 16 year olds, okay? Taking out active shooters. In a simulation in Imperial, California recently of a raid on a marijuana field, several explorers were instructed on how to quiet an obstreperous lookout. an unruly lookout. A Border Patrol agent explained, put him on his face and a knee in his back. I guarantee that'll shut him up. One participant, a kid named Felix Arce, who's 16, says he likes the, quote, discipline of the program, end quote, which was something he said his life was lacking. He said, quote, I want to be a lawyer, and this teaches you how crimes are committed, end quote. A young girl, Kathy Noriego, also 16, said she was attracted to this training by the guns. The group uses compressed air guns, known as airsoft guns, which fire tiny plastic pellets. She said she liked the guns. She said, quote, I like shooting them. I like the sound they make. It gets me excited. End quote. 16-year-old girl. If there are critics, the Times says, of the content or purpose of the law enforcement training, they've not made themselves known to the Explorers National Organization in Irving, Texas, or to the volunteers in Imperial, California. That's according to national officials and local leaders, if there's any problems. But that said, the Explorers have faced problems over the last several years. There have been numerous cases over the last three decades in which police officers supervising explorers have been charged in civil and criminal cases with, yeah, you knew this was coming, sexually abusing them. Several years ago, two University of Nebraska criminal justice professors published a study that found at least a dozen cases of sexual abuse involving police officers and explorer scouts over the last decade. And now, adult explorer leaders are required to take an online training program on sexual misconduct. According to the Times, many law enforcement officials, particularly those who work for the rapidly growing Border Patrol, which is part of Homeland Security, these law enforcement people have helped shape the program's focus and see it as preparing the explorer scouts as potential employees. The explorer posts, you know, like the Boy Scout troops, are attached to various agencies, including the FBI, local police departments. And these organizations sponsor them much the way churches sponsor Boy Scouts, Boy Scout troops. No, not in the same way at all. The churches that sponsor the Boy Scout troops, regardless of my take on religion, the churches are not taking these kids into a church basement and teaching them how to plant your foot between the shoulder blades of somebody while you hold a gun on them and tell them, chill, sucker, chill.
Life's gonna suck when you grow up, when you grow up, when you grow up. Life's gonna suck when you grow up, it sucks pretty bad right now. You're gonna end up smoking crack on your back, face the back. You're gonna end up hooked on smack and then you're gonna die.
Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. So here we go with the Explorer Scouts. I don't know how widespread this program is, but it's widespread enough to make the front page of the New York Times yesterday. And with photographs, if you saw the color photos in stop yourself from thinking of Hitler Youth, you get a gold star, you get to go to the front of the room, and while you're at the front of the room, you might want to read up on the history of the Third Reich and how they shanghaied the children into things like outing illegal immigrants and protecting the border and getting the equivalent of drug dealers back in Germany in the 20s and 30s. That would be the Jews. And how eager these young children were then and now to learn these techniques. And as the 16-year-old girl said, I like the sound the guns make. I like shooting them. It gets me excited. Okay? Now, as the Times goes on with this obscene story, just as there are soccer moms, there are explorer dads who attend the competitions set up among the various explorer groups, competitions, see who knows how to take down a suspected illegal immigrant the proper way. See who knows the proper procedure to move into a marijuana field and take out whatever guards might be there. See who knows how to confront someone who is waving a weapon on a school campus, and which explorer knows the more proper way and more effective and efficient way of taking out that particular shooter. These are scouts now. There are explorer dads who attend these competitions. They man the hamburger grill and donate their land for the simulated marijuana field raids, and they're training the would-be law enforcement officers, the Explorer Scouts. Do not mess around, as revealed at a recent competition on the state fairgrounds out there in Imperial, California, where a Ferris wheel sat next to the police cars set up for a felony investigation, all simulated. And then the Times gets funky. Their hearts pounding, explorers moved down alleys where there were hidden paper targets of people pointing guns and made split-second decisions about when to shoot. In rescuing hostages from a bus taken over by terrorists, a baby-faced young girl screamed, "Separate your feet!" as she moved to handcuff her suspect. In a competition in Arizona that he did not oversee, Deputy Lowenthal said one role player wore traditional Arab dress. Deputy Lowenthal said, quote, "If we're looking at 9/11 and what a Middle Eastern terrorist would be like, then maybe your role player should look like that. I don't know. Would you call that politically incorrect?" End quote. For Imperial County in Southern California, authenticity seems to be the goal because this particular county is the poorest in the state of California. The poorest. And the local economy revolves largely, according to the New York Times, around the criminal justice system. In addition to the sheriff and local police departments, plural, there are two state prisons and a large border patrol and immigration enforcement presence. Well. So there you go, truth seekers. How soon do you suppose that this sterling program, this outstanding program, is outstanding because it teaches our young men and women how to take down, take out, remove, and otherwise disable bus hijackers, terrorists, marijuana fuel growers, illegal immigrants, liberals, gays, Jews, especially the Jews. It does, indeed. Sieg Heil! Sieg Heil, indeed. Explorer Scouts. My. How things have changed in just a few decades. Why, I can remember when I was in the Scouts, we used to make birdhouses. Yeah. And then we would have an open house and sell them birdhouses with colorful sides and little green roofs and little perches for the wrens and sparrows and robins and the birds that hung out in Toledo, Ohio could perch on. We'll be back.
And the smiles means friendship to everyone. Though the mountains divide and the oceans are wide, it's a small world after all. 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 It's a small, small world. It's a world of
no more Mr. Nice Guy. Here's Mike Malloy.
25 before the hour. Boy, you folks are too witty by half this evening. Got a bunch of emails on that Explorer story. Here's just a couple from Ward. Regarding Explorers. Golly, Uncle Mike, when do we learn enhanced interrogation techniques? Yeah, that's probably coming next. And Art says, Mike, don't knock the Hitler Youth. It produced a pope. You sure did. Who is now touring, that part of the world and apparently saying all kinds of things that are pissing off, among others, the Orthodox Jews. Oh, well. From John, who writes, say, Mike, so here we are in a land where we have polluted the air and water, limitless power used mostly for destruction. The top one half of 1% of billionaires own everything. We have been fleeced. It saddens me to hear people defend torture, mostly Christians, it seems. It saddens me that the population is so misinformed due to propaganda that they don't understand even the simplest of concepts. To wit, torturing another person is wrong. Lying about it is wrong. Sodomizing children is wrong. 30 million people a day watch or listen to right-wing propaganda, some of the largest people in media. Rush, O'Reilly, Hannity, Fox News, who are telling these poor, sad, little-minded people that a television program, 24 scenario, blah, 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 be very afraid. By the way, who would Jesus torture? So, How do you compete? In this 1984 world, you can't. If Obama can't or won't change things, they won't get changed, and the people are too brainwashed. Is that too dark? I had a guy tell me today, well, they do it to us. Where does one even start with that? Just wrong on so many levels, my head would explode explaining to him, oh, never mind. I try, but damn, people are so conditioned. So, 1984 won, followed by Pavlov, John, in Montana. Stephen in Burbank writes, Mike, wanted to call last night about the torture issue, but I had already talked to you the previous night and didn't want to be an air hog. I called anyway. Your lives were busy. This aspect of the torture issue cannot be overemphasized enough. Torture is a technique used by an unjust power structure to terrorize a dissenting population. It's documented. I was always hearing from right-wing limbots and idiots about how it's okay if they wiretap me. I'm not doing anything wrong. Fine. Then when are we going to hear, it's okay if they torture me. I'm not doing anything wrong. After all, it's national security. Yeah, well, how long has it been? 3 weeks since Hannity said he would be waterboarded for charity? That cowardly little son of a bitch, huh? Come on, Sean! This is interesting. This is from Joy, who writes, hey, guys, after listening to last night's podcast, I took a walk trying to figure out why we haven't taken to the streets. Just rioted in the streets over the torture and lying and cover-ups and everything that's going on. Walked back to my office and started listening to some music, and Janice Ian's autobiography CD was in my player. Have you heard Johnny, I Hardly Knew You? You should take a listen. It will give you chills. Here's my opinion why we aren't rioting. Our kids, that would be your sons, my sons, aren't being drafted. If all these warmongers and phony Christians had to give their child to the cause, this war would be over in a month, as fast as it would take to fly them all home. I read somewhere this week that one of the Repuke's arguments about throwing our soldiers out in front of bullets is that, well, they volunteered, they signed up for it. Like, that makes it okay to cut their veteran benefits, lie to the volunteers when they sign up, get them out of the service right before they qualify for college funding, deny them medical care when they return, deny their legitimate claims for service-related injuries, and on and on. Can you imagine the laughter that must have been rolling out of Cheney's office for the last 8 years when he realized how easily the American public could be manipulated and controlled, that he had carte blanche to do what he wanted? I hope the congressional hearings regarding torture are about getting to the truth more than going through the motions and putting on a show. But truthfully, I no longer have faith in the system. And I think we're about to see another Warren report released. Well, that could be interpreted several ways. Thanks, who wrote this? Come on, Mike. Use your eyes. That'll help. Joy. Jesse Ventura was on Larry King the other night. I saw a bit of it on a YouTube video, and it was so fascinated that when we got off the air, I flipped over to a rebroadcast, or was it the next day? I don't even know anymore. But I saw a part of it. Jesse Ventura, who now lives in Mexico, I guess. He's moved somewhere far, far away. And I want you to hear some of this, what Jesse had to say. The former Minnesota governor and professional wrestler and SEAL got in a few jabs at the Bush crime family. Larry King began by saying, joining us now, Jesse Ventura, former wrestler, former governor of Minnesota, former Navy SEAL, and author of Don't Start the Revolution Without Me. How's Obama doing in your opinion, Jesse?
Too early to tell, Larry, really. And, you know, in my opinion, George Bush is the worst president in my lifetime.
Have an opinion.
And he's the worst president in my lifetime. So Barack Obama, President Obama, inherited something I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy. You know, two wars, an economy that's a borderline depression. So it's far too early to judge him 100 days in. I think if you have me back about 2 years from now, I can give you a much better of how he's doing.
And did you notice that little sotto voce or voce? I'm sorry, it's not Italian, Mike, it's Latin. The little sotto voce noise of Larry King in the background there. Oh, yeah, give us an opinion. Every time you come on, you have an opinion. At one point in the in the back and forth between Ventura and King, when Ventura is really ripping George W. Bush a new body orifice, you can hear King say, "Oh, come on now, lighten up on George Bush," or something to that effect. King asked Jesse about his Navy SEAL experience and torture.
"It's a good thing I'm not president, because I would prosecute every person that was involved in that torture. I would prosecute the people that did it. I would prosecute the people that ordered it, because torture is against the law."
"And you were a Navy SEAL."
"That's right, and I was waterboarded. So I know at SEER school, Survival Escape Resistance Evasion, it was a required school you had to go to prior to going into the combat zone, which in my era was Vietnam. All of us had to go there. We were all, in essence, every one of us was waterboarded. It is torture."
"And what's it like?"
"It's drowning. It gives you the complete sensation that you are drowning. And it's no good, because I'll put it to you this way. You give me a waterboard Dick Cheney in 1 hour, and I'll have him confess to the Sharon Tate murders."
Ow! Ow! Oh! You go, Jesse! How about right after you get Cheney to confess to the Sharon Tate murders, get this little pissant Sean Hannity in there and see what you can get him to confess to. Wouldn't that be, that'd be easy, wouldn't it? King went on to say, "What do you make of the Cheney Limbaugh?" And Jesse interrupted, "I don't have a lot of respect for Dick Cheney." He said, "Here's a guy who got 5 deferments from the Vietnam War. Clearly, he's a coward. He wouldn't go when it was his time to go, and now he's a chicken hawk. Now he's this big tough guy who wants this hardcore policy, and he's the guy that sanctioned all this torture by calling it enhanced interrogation." And then King said, "Do you think Rush Limbaugh is a better Republican than Colin Powell?" Jesse answers, "No, not at all. In fact, if you compare the two, let's look at Colin Powell, who's a war hero, who strapped it on for his country and didn't run and hide. And then you look at Dick Cheney, who ran and hid. I have no respect for Dick Cheney. I have tremendous respect for General Powell." It was quite the interview. I, you know, say what you like about Jesse Ventura. He is, he gets it said, doesn't he? He gets it said, doesn't he? Speaking of Dick Cheney and his cowardice and this filthy son of a bitch, his Kellogg Brown and Root and his Halliburton. You thought that the lack of armor-plated Humvees was bad in Iraq? You thought what the soldiers who were over there starting in 03 who were undersupplied and the stuff that they got didn't work or jammed? How many American soldiers are severely crippled and deform for the rest of their lives because Halliburton, Kellogg Brown and Root provided them equipment that was no goddamn good? Now, Cheney, of course, he doesn't care about this because, as Ventura pointed out, and as you and I know, Cheney is a rat coward. He is a coward. He's in it for the money. Kill, kill, like he told Patrick Leahy on the floor of the Senate. Go F yourself. Cheney is a real bastard. If you look in the dictionary under cowardly bastard, you'll see his picture. Well, as soon as we come back here, I'll tell you about what else the soldiers had to deal with, thanks to Dick Cheney, thanks to Kellogg Brown and Root, thanks to Halliburton, thanks to the contractors who took advantage of our people. We'll be right back.
You know the neocons have told you lies. When they get caught, they give you 2 cents out of five. They don't worry about what makes you cry. Your child's in a ride. How they gonna die? Gasoline.
Rush Limbaugh,
Rush Limbaugh, Rush Limbaugh, Rush Limbaugh, Rush Limbaugh, Rush Limbaugh, Rush Limbaugh.
Hey, truth seekers, gather round the campfire. It's more Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour. You know, all these little teabagger zombies that were inspired by vermin like Glenn Beck and the rest of these right-wingers. Where were these swine when our soldiers were being blown to pieces because of the shoddy equipment provided by Dick Cheney's company, Kellogg Brown and Root? Where were these little pissy teabaggers, for example, where this story is concerned? Maybe they can all get together and show up at their local village green as they did a couple of months ago and wave water cans around. U.S. soldiers are now being put, now, not then, now, being forced to steal water in Iraq. Why? Supplies are tight. And the number of trucks carrying clean water is even tighter. And therefore, troops have resorted to stealing water from civilian contractors. Think about that. Well, how many contractors in Iraq? We have 130 soldiers, about 130,000 soldiers, about 140,000 contractors. You're aware of that, right, Truth Seeker? So the soldiers are having to steal water from the civilian contractors. Many also have reported, reportedly suffered from dysentery because they were forced to drink untreated water from Iraqi wells. Think about it. Now, this story aired yesterday on Houston-based CBS affiliate KHOU. It gets worse. Soldiers say the situation has become so dire, they were forced to raid the United States' own airbase in Baghdad for bottled water. And guess what? They found the water stored in pallets held by civilian contractors who were supposed to be distributing it to the soldiers. Now, you little tea bag bastards, go wave your bags around about this one, huh? You cowardly little snakes, go do this one. Come on, where's Glenn Beck and Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh on this one? You phony bastards. Army Sergeant Dustin Roby told KHOU, quote, "It really hit me the day I was with my commander, and we are stealing water." He was describing his mission to collect water at the Baghdad International Airport. A second soldier said he's also stolen water from civilian contractors. Private Brian Hanna said, quote, "We just run out and start grabbing cases of water and start throwing them in the gunner's hatch." End quote. Soldiers said that they'd been given 2 to 3 liters of water per day by their commanders, but according to the Army's own field manual, the human body can lose as much as 4 gallons of water daily in the desert. Sergeant Roby said 2 to 3 liters isn't enough. He said, quote, "You'll see guys throw up, you'll see them pass out," end quote. I bet you won't see any of these filthy goddamn contractors pass out, these Kellogg Brown and Root, these Cheney boys pass out, will you? Huh? Who's supposed to be maintaining the water supply? It's the U.S. engineering contractor KBR. KBR is a spinoff of Halliburton. Halliburton, operated, managed by Dick Cheney, who promised them, well, you know, I'll get to be vice president. And if you will, when I'm vice president, we're all going to get rich. Let me just tell you that right now. This dumb little son of a bitch, George Bush, is going to be president. There's no doubt about that now. So once he becomes president and I'm vice president, you know, manipulating this guy will be as easy as running a hand puppet. So just keep me on the payroll here. Keep it quiet. Not only am I going to get you a lot of tax breaks and we'll hide everything, but listen, I'm going to tell you right now, we're going to make a lot of money. We're going to make a lot of money. I don't give a goddamn what kind of water you give them. I don't care what kind of bullets you give them, what kind of guns or equipment. I don't care. We're just going to make the money. Oh, never mind. Just a little glitch in my circuitry here. But stay with me. I told you this a long time ago. Didn't I tell you to stay with me? Huh? We're going to do this. We're going to do this. And the time may come when I'll get to apply enhanced interrogation techniques. In a statement, Kellogg Brown and Root said, quote, "We have a proven system that works. Commanders at all levels do their utmost to provide the necessary resources required to sustain the force." End quote. That's all. Goodbye. Get your cameras out of here. Take your microphones. Stick them up your sphincter muscle. We don't have to do anything. Dick Cheney protects us. Get your goddamn KHOU cameras out of here before we call the explorers. They'll come over and put paint bullets in your ass. You want that? Get out of here. This is what it's come down to. This is what it's come down to when you have a pack of draft-dodging cowards running two illegal wars that they started because they could. Because the payoff, the potential payoff, you know, after you move all the dead bodies aside, we don't count Iraqi casualties, those little Muslim bastards are not human anyway. You move all the bodies aside. Don't count them. Oh, and let's keep the returning coffins with, those goddamn flags all over them. Keep that out of the public view. And the money will be wonderful. Oh, my God, the money will be wonderful. Jesus, God, I love being vice president.
My daughter's a lesbian. I don't know if all of you know that, but we tried waterboarding her, and just didn't work.
Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. A couple emails here, and then we have more ground to cover. Patricia in Sacramento writes, "Mike, I just heard you say Cheney is insane on my podcast from yesterday's show, yet I feel he is diabolically evil. I feel he is trying to taint the jury pool. He's too smart at the media game, and he knows the end of his legacy is near." On a different subject, Obama changed his mind on exposing the torture pictures, knowing the courts have already ruled to release torture photos during the Bush administration. They will come out, but not at the hands of Obama. It will be the court's decision. This will keep Obama's hands out of the decision and thus saving political capital. Yeah, let's hope that that's the ultimate plan. Brandt writes, "Mike, I think Cheney's scared. The court of public opinion has begun to turn toward the viper. There's nothing more potent than the righteous anger of the masses. This miserable manipulator is ready to bolt. He is touring in a blind and futile effort to influence public opinion and dampen outrage. Wasn't Saddam a torturer whose own people hanged him like a carcass of meat?" Well, ostensibly, but that was the doings, I think. Well, maybe not. Maybe I was going to say the doings of the U.S. Occupation commander, but being Saddam being who he was, I'm sure his people decided enough of this pig. Glenn Greenwald, one of our favorite writers at Salon. This is from his blog. I think it's from today. Photographs convey the reality of things in a way that mere words cannot. They prevent people who want to deny what was done the ability to do so. They force citizens to face what their country did and what they are now justifying and advocating. They impede the ability of political leaders to use euphemisms to obscure the truth. They show in graphic detail what the effects are of sanctioning torture policies. They prove that this was about more than dunking three terrorists into water. They highlight the fact that no decent person believes that this should all just be forgotten, and its victims told they have no right to have accountability. That's precisely why the photographs are being suppressed, because of how much good they would do. Yeah, release the photographs. Prosecute the sons of bitches who ordered the torture. Now, a lot has been made today all over the media about Nancy Pelosi's recent statements. She finally had the courage to call the CIA a pack of liars, at least the people in the CIA who claim to have presented her and certain other key members of Congress with certain evidence or certain clearance or evidence that, yes, in fact, torture was occurring. And the charge against Pelosi is that she did nothing. I'm going to side with Pelosi on this one, although it's a little uncomfortable because I am still thoroughly pissed off at her attitude about impeaching George Bush and Dick Cheney. But I believe Pelosi, and I'll tell you why. This is from Sam Stein writing at Huffington Post. In testimony that could bolster Pelosi's claim that the CIA misled her during briefings on detainee interrogations, former Senator Bob Graham said today that he, too, was kept in the dark about the use of waterboarding and called the agency's records on these briefings suspect. Now, let me digress. You remember what Leon Panetta, the new head of the CIA, said when it became clear that this was going to develop into a contentious kind of media feeding frenzy about Nancy Pelosi because of what the CIA was saying. What Leon Panetta, former Clinton aide and now head of the CIA, what he said was, we'll go ahead and release the memos, and but you have to understand that you have to make your own decision. Essentially what he said is you have to decide yourself whether or not to believe them. You have to decide yourself whether or not you're going to believe them. Now, keep in mind, we talked about this towards the end of the Bush reign of terror, the Bush-Cheney reign of terror. They were converting all sorts of Bush appointees into civil service status so that they could be placed inside agencies like so many rats, so many cockroaches. And it is damn near impossible to remove somebody's civil service protection and get them fired. We have no way of knowing, do we, how many covert agents that are loyal to the Nazi, the American Nazi Party that is headed by Dick Cheney, who have been stashed into all these various agencies, whether it's the EPA, the DIA, the NSA, the FBI, the CIA, pick your own abbreviated agency. It who knows? But we do know this. They did do that. For weeks prior to the end of the Cheney Bush administration, it was reported in passing by certain media outlets, but it was done. We also know that Dick Cheney hung out at the CIA probably to the same degree that a child molester hangs out at a boy's bathroom on at a county fair. Cheney is a sick son of a bitch. Remember the after Downing Street memos, the Downing Street memos that said the U.S. government, that means Dick Cheney, was fixing the evidence around the claims that Cheney and Bush were making. This has been one of the most incredible scams ever perpetrated against the American people, and tens of thousands of Iraqis have died because of it. And 4,000 plus American soldiers. Dick Cheney is a goddamn murderer. He is a murderer. Say that. He's a murderer. So there's no way of knowing how many Cheney agents are embedded now in the CIA. The ones who are obviously, it is obvious to me. If it is not to you, do a lot of research. Go back, read, check out news reports over the past year and a half of what this filthy bastard did, Cheney. That's why I'm going to come down in this one on the side of Nancy Pelosi. Bob Graham says, yeah, they're lying. Only he said the agency's records on these briefings are suspect. Polite, safe way, right, Bob? Want to be careful who you call a liar. You live in Florida, pal. All kinds of people down there who would kill you for $50. You know it. I know it. Everybody knows it. So, yeah, suspect. Good word. In an interview with Huffington Post, Graham, who is the former Senate Intelligence Committee chairman, said that approximately 1 month ago, one month, the CIA provided him with false information about how many times and when he was briefed on enhanced interrogations. This is the nerve of these bastards. They will go to somebody like Bob Graham or the media or Nancy Pelosi and look you right in the eye and lie. Now, that shouldn't come as a shock. I mean, come on, Malloy, this is the CIA. This is not an intelligence agency. This is Murder Incorporated made legal. That's all this is. This is a terrorist organization, the CIA. That's what it's become. This is what Bob Graham said. Quote, when this issue started to resurface, I called the appropriate people in the agency and said, I'd like to know the dates from your records the briefings were held. And they contacted me and gave me four dates, two in April of 02 and two in September 02. Now, one of the things I do and for which I have taken some flack is I keep a spiral notebook of what I do throughout the day. And so I went through my records and through a combination of my daily schedules, which I keep, and my notebooks, I confirmed that the CIA agreed that my notes were accurate, that three of those four dates there had been no briefing at all. There was only one day that I'd been briefed, September the 27th, 2002. As for the one briefing he did attend, Graham said that he had, quote, no recollection that issues such as waterboarding were discussed, end quote. He was not, per the sensitive nature of the matters discussed, he was not allowed to take notes at the time, but he did highlight what he considered to be pretty strong proof that the controversial techniques were not discussed. And I'll have that part of Graham's statement today to Sam Stein. When we come back, don't leave.
Terrified and innocent, the desire growing stronger, activity is increasing, and Dick is on the rise. By executive order on the manhunt aboard the Starship Enterprise, Dick is a killer, 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 Dick. Yourself. Kiss my ass.
Heresy. Heresy.
And I want you. It's difficult to talk about. And I want you because you set me free. And I want you.
And now a soothing bedtime lullaby. It's Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. Bob Graham says, yeah, they lied to me too. So that's Pelosi and now Bob Graham. He said, as to the one briefing he did attend, the CIA claimed four, and he pointed out to them that they are lying bastards, and they backed down. Graham said that he had no recollection that issues such as waterboarding were discussed. He said he was not allowed to take notes at the time because of the sensitive nature. When you sit down with these CIA spooks, you're not allowed to pick your nose for fear that, you know, if you flick a booger, it might have a secret recording device in it that just recorded everything these thugs said. Graham went on to say, quote, what struck me was the fact that in that briefing, there were also two staff members. And as you know, the general rule is that the executive is to brief the full committee of the House and Senate Intelligence Committees about any ongoing or proposed action. The exception to that is what is called covert action, where the president only briefs the so-called Gang of Eight, which is the four congressional leaders and the four intelligence committee leaders. Those sessions are generally conducted at an executive site, primarily at the White House itself, and they are conducted with just the authorized personnel, not with any staff or any other member of the committee, which leads me to conclude that this was not considered by the CIA to be a so-called Gang of Eight briefing. Otherwise, they would not have had staff in the room. And that leads me to then believe that they didn't brief us on any of the sensitive programs, such as the waterboarding or other forms of excessive interrogation, end quote. Now, these remarks, obviously made by former Senator Bob Graham, reinforce the comments that Pelosi made today when she told reporters that during her briefing session that she was not just kept in the dark about the issue of waterboarding. She was assured that it had not been used. And she said today, quote, "Yes, I am saying that the CIA was misleading the Congress," end quote. Now you can find this at, if you want this, go to Huffington Post, Sam Stein. Well, Nancy Pelosi says the CIA was misleading the Congress. I say they are lying sons of bitches who are still in the employ of the Bush crime family and will say anything they're told to say. All those trips, all the time that Dick Cheney spent at the CIA headquarters in Langley, of Virginia. You remember all this, right? You remember the stories, how cavalierly the press treated this, how dumbassy and half-witted. Oh, Dick Cheney has disappeared again. Oh, where is he? Down in the bunker. No, he wasn't in a bunker. He was at the CIA, or he was in Guantanamo. This is an evil, evil man, which is precisely the subject at my blog today, MikeMalloy.com. Check it out if you haven't. Now, Pelosi, Graham, how about Russ Feingold? Russ Feingold sent a letter detailing his objections to the CIA's so-called enhanced interrogation program shortly after he was briefed on the techniques the U.S. was employed on the detainees. That was confirmed by Feingold's spokesman yesterday. But Feingold was informed of these practices in September 2006 as part of a briefing to the full Senate Select Committee on Intelligence. He wrote at the time, quote, "I have detailed the bases for my strong objections to the CIA's program and classified correspondence sent shortly after I was first briefed on it. More recently, I've stated my opposition publicly, although I am prohibited by classification rules from providing further details about my concerns in a public setting," end quote. So do you, let's play forensic investigator. Let's get some of those explorer scouts in here. They're being trained to aim their guns at people. Let's do a little forensic investigation here, okay? Why were so many senators on and House members on these intelligence committees briefed 2, 3 years, 4 years after the fact of torture? And why were certain key members of the Senate briefed around the time that the torture was being done, but were not told of the torture? Like Graham, like Pelosi, huh? Now, Porter Goss, former senator, a representative, I believe, came out today and refuted what Pelosi was saying. But let's keep one little teeny tiny factoid in mind. Porter Goss was appointed by George W. Bush to be the head of the CIA for an abbreviated period of time, wasn't he? Wasn't Porter Goss, or was that the DIA, or the XIA, or the BIA, or the QIA? Wasn't he the head of the CIA for a very short period of time, old Porter Goss? Huh? I would believe Porter Goss to the same extent I would believe Rush Limbaugh. So the plan, if there was a plan, is there a plan? I don't know. Let's think. What could the plan be? The plan could be this. The plan could be, well, I better give you the plan when we come back, because we have to take a break here in about 20 seconds. We'll see you on the other side of the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
You didn't, you frickin' liar. You lied to us, you freaking liar. Your party's going to hell in a blazing ball of fire. And you lie. You freaking liar. You freaking liar.
The world has changed after September the 11th. It's changed because we're no longer safe.
Saddam Hussein is determined to get his hands on a nuclear bomb.
Nuclear weapon.
Nuclear weapon.
Nuclear weapon.
He's in the jailhouse now.
He's in the jailhouse now.
Border to border and coast to coast, the Mike Malloy Show. All substance, no abuse.
It's about 25 before the hour. Now, another hand grenade rolled onto the American stage today was from Robert Windrum. He is a former NBC News investigative producer, and he reported in a piece that he wrote at thedailybeast.com, he reported that the vice president's office, see, I hate it when they do that. That's a journalistic, almost a style book requirement. The vice president's office said, you know, the White House said, the Defense Department said, you know, that eliminates attribution, and I don't know what the point is in that, but when the lead says, the vice president's office suggested, we know exactly what that means. If it doesn't mean Cheney, then it meant Addington, who was Cheney's spook. But let's just say it was Cheney. But anyway, Robert Windrum reports that the vice president's office suggested waterboarding an Iraqi prisoner. Now, this is not news to you or to me. We know this. Cheney is the one who ordered this stuff, top to bottom. He ordered the waterboarding of an Iraqi prisoner who was suspected of knowing about a relationship between Al-Qaeda and Saddam Hussein. So Robert Windrum, writing at the Daily Beast, said, quote, two U.S. intelligence officers confirm that Vice President Cheney's office suggested waterboarding an Iraqi prisoner, a former intelligence official for Saddam Hussein, who was, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, suspected of having knowledge of a Saddam Al-Qaeda connection. The former chief of the Iraq Survey Group, Charles Dwelfer, who is in charge of interrogations, tells the Daily Beast that he considered the request reprehensible. Much of the information in the report of the 9/11 Commission was provided through more than 30 sessions of torture of detainees. God. Well, I don't know what to say about this. I really don't. Everybody in Washington D.C., in the Bush crime family, in the completely compromised American media, who supported the second attack on Iraq, everyone knew once shock and awe was over, and once we had established our proconsul there, and once we had decimated 6,000 years of recorded history, and once we had done this and that and the other thing, and there were no weapons of mass destruction, there was a desperation move to find something, anything. If you have to bring these detainees' children in and crush their testicles, do it. We want the connection. Otherwise, they're going to accuse us of war crimes. And wasn't John Yoo asked about that in congressional testimony? Wasn't he asked if he thought it would be legal to bring in a male child of a detainee and either crush or threaten to crush the child's testicles, if that were the only thing that would make somebody talk, somebody lie, somebody provide the information that the Bush crime family absolutely needed. All of them. Cheney, Rice, Addington, Bush. I mean, go down the list. So I got this email from Robert who writes, Mike, regarding your piece on Cheney and his evil, the ramifications, he's referring to the piece out there today at MikeMalloy.com, the ramifications of the December 2000 criminal takeover of the United States and the actions of those wrongly installed in office continue. The mainstream media are still protecting Bush and his gang and covering up that what they did was knowingly commit crimes. It was not just blundering and incompetence, so there was plenty of that. The Bush protective media claims that Bush tortured prisoners only to protect America and prevent future planned attacks. As you stated in your piece, he also tortured prisoners to force them to falsely confess about a supposed link between Iraq and 9/11 in order to obtain an excuse to attack Iraq. Almost every major news outlet has refused to report this fact because this would be evidence of treason. Bush committed treason. He caused the death of nearly 5,000 Americans, including the forgotten U.S. contractors, and perhaps 300,000 Iraqis over what he knew was a lie. He knew there was no link between Iraq and 9/11. He knew Iraq had no nuclear plant to produce the enriched uranium-235 or plutonium for bombs. He knew Iraq had no nuclear bombs. He knew Iraq would not attack the United States. In 2002, when Bush was campaigning for war, I was suspicious because I used to read books about our satellite capabilities. I knew that the National Reconnaissance Office would be looking for a gaseous diffusion plant and that they are hard to hide. Even if you build one underground, the construction can be detected. Yet Bush showed no satellite photos of any actual evidence, and our press was silent on the absolute lack of any evidence. Also, it would have been suicide for Iraq to attack the U.S. with any kind of weapon. Whether Iraq had chemical weapons was of no importance. Anyone with $1,000 can make chemical weapons if they wish. The formulas for some of the simple ones are on the Internet. Possessing chemical weapons would have been no justification for starting a massive war. The U.S. and Russia have massive amounts of chemical weapons. Is it okay for any country 8,000 miles away to attack us because we have chemical weapons? Everything Bush, Cheney, Rumsfeld, Condoleezza, and Colin Powell said was a lie. If the press today reported and emphasized these few facts, that would be a kind of admission that, en masse, they failed to do their job. Though many of these things were reported, the gravity of what occurred was ignored, and the electronic media pretty much ignored the most damning facts altogether. And most people don't read newspapers. If the public realized the truth, the prosecution of Bush and Cheney and the others would be necessary. Our nation would have to admit that these people went along with that most people in this country went along with the crazed war fever, backed by absolutely nothing that was true, and it would be embarrassing and shameful for our country. Thus, Bush and his gang continue to be protected from prosecution because most ordinary Americans and most of the people in power either supported everything that these criminals did or went along with it naively, and now they don't want to admit they were wrong. Robert. So it's coming out piece by piece, isn't it? The Washington Note had a piece by Lawrence Wilkerson, who was the military aide to Colin Powell, about Wilkerson's appearance on Rachel Maddow's show on NBC. I think it was last night or the night before. He writes, before I went on Rachel's program, through the earpiece, I listened to the 5 minutes that Rachel sketched as a lead-in. Most of it was videotaped from the last few days of former Vice President Dick Cheney extolling the virtues of harsh interrogation, torture, and his leadership. I had heard some of it earlier, of course, but not all of it, and not in such a tightly packed package. Let's just say that 5 minutes of the Sith Lord was stunningly inaccurate. Now, this is being said by Lawrence Wilkerson, Colonel, who was an aide to Colin Powell. He says, so when I got home last night, I thought long and hard about what I knew at this point of my investigations with respect to the former vice president's office. Here it is. First, more Americans were killed by terrorists on Cheney's watch than on any other leader's watch in U.S. history. So his constant claim that no Americans were killed in the 7.5 years after 9/11 of his vice presidency takes on a new texture when one considers that fact, and it is a fact. There was absolutely no policy priority attributed to al-Qaeda by the Bush-Cheney administration in the months before 9/11. Counterterrorism czar Dick Clark's position was downgraded. Al-Qaeda was put in the background so as to emphasize Iraq. And the policy priorities were lowering taxes, abrogating the ABM treaty, and building ballistic missile defenses. Second, the fact that no attack has occurred on U.S. soil since 9/11, much touted by Cheney, is due almost entirely to the nation's having deployed over 200,000 U.S. troops in Iraq and Afghanistan, and not to the Cheney method of interrogation. Third, and here comes the blistering fact, when Cheney claims that if President Obama stops the Cheney method of interrogation and torture, the nation will be in danger, when he says that, he is perverting the facts once again, but in a very ironic way. And I'll share the irony with you when we come back. I'm Mike Malloy.
Hey, truth seekers, here's the truth speaker, Mike Malloy.
It's about 9 before the hour. All right. The blistering fact, as the former aide to Colin Powell, Colonel Lawrence Wilkerson, calls it, is that when Cheney claims that if Obama stops the so-called Cheney method of interrogation and torture, the nation will be in danger, he's perverting the facts once again. But in a very ironic way, Wilkerson writes, my investigators have revealed to me vividly and clearly that once the Abu Ghraib photographs were made public in the spring of 2004, the CIA, its contractors, and everyone else involved in administering the so-called Cheney method of interrogation simply shut down. Nada. Nothing. No torture or harsh techniques were employed by any U.S. interrogator. Period. People were too frightened by what might happen to them if they continued. What I am saying is that no torture or harsh interrogation techniques were employed by any U.S. interrogator for the entire second term of Cheney Bush, 2005 to 2009. So, if we are to believe the protestations of Dick Cheney that Obama's having shut down the Cheney interrogation methods will endanger the nation, what are we to say to Dick Cheney for having endangered the nation for the last 4 years of his vice presidency when no torture was occurring. Likewise, what I have learned is that as the administration authorized harsh interrogation in April and May of 2002, well before the Justice Department had rendered any legal opinion, its principal priority for intelligence was not aimed at preempting another terrorist attack on the U.S., but discovering a smoking gun linking Iraq and Al-Qaeda. And some of this is in the blog that I wrote today at MikeMalloy.com. Now, one of the things I mentioned just a couple of minutes ago, that Robert Windrum, former NBC investigative producer, NBC News investigative producer, had written about at the Daily Beast. And it's almost a throwaway line. Here it is again. Much of the information in the report of the 9/11 Commission was provided through more than 30 sessions of torture of detainees. You do get that. Not some, not a bit of, but much of the information in the report of the 9/11 Commission was provided through more than 30 sessions of torture of detainees. So, very quickly now, what does that say to you about the conclusions of the 9/11 Commission? You know, that phony setup that was supposed to, the one before which Cheney and Bush appeared hand in hand but not under oath. You remember. And most of the Bush crime family participants who appeared before that commission were not sworn. The testimony was not sworn. Why do you suppose that was? One more time. Much of the information in the report of the 9/11 Commission was provided through more than 30 sessions of torture of detainees. Now, you and I are smarter than the average radio listener, right? We're both high school graduates, aren't we? Yes, we are. So what can we conclude from the fact that much of the information in the report of the 9/11 Commission was provided through more than 30 sessions of torture of detainees? What's the first conclusion that jumps into your mind having heard that or read that line? That's right. This confirms what you and I have known since the 9/11 Commission released its report. The whole goddamn thing was nothing but a farce, a sham, a show, a cover-up, a lie, deceit. So then, we're left with a rather glaring question, aren't we? And it's very simply stated, what is the truth of what happened on September 11, 2001? Because from that event, everything else has flowed for the Bush crime family. This is what the Project for New American Century was talking about back in the 90s. America needs another Pearl Harbor. We have got to lasso, round up the fear of an invader in order to bring about in this country what we want to bring about. And that is a complete move to fascism. Only we won't use that word. We'll call it something else. And now the attack against the legislative branch of government is in full force. Do you understand this? The attack, I hate to defend Nancy Pelosi, I really do. But one of these bitchy female right-wing radio talk show hosts today was out there demanding that her audience send in letters and cards and phone calls. Resign, Pelosi, resign! The amen chorus in the media for these thugs is always ready, always primed, always ready to go. Always. Much of the information in the report of the 9/11 Commission was provided through more than 30 sessions of torture of detainees. One more time. What does that tell us about the 9/11 Commission report? Welcome back. It is 7 past the hour. One last thing about this topic for this evening, for this evening's program. And I do want to move on. Over at tvnewslies.org, there any kind of a donation to that website, and you can get David Ray Griffin's book on 9/11, the 9/11 Commission Report. It's titled Omissions and Distortions. And the what David Ray Griffin, this is a critique. I just want to share this with you. The Commission's account, by popular reckoning, has made an impression with its heft, its footnotes, its portrayal of the confusion of that sobering day, its detail, its narrative finesse. Yet under the magnifying glass of David Ray Griffin, eminent theologian and author of The New Pearl Harbor, that book explores questions that reporters, eyewitnesses, and political observers have raised about the 9/11 attacks. Under the magnifying glass of David Ray Griffin, the report appears much shabbier. In fact, there are holes in the places where detail ought to be thickest. Is it possible that Secretary of Defense Rumsfeld has given three different stories of what he was doing the morning of September 11th, and that the commission combines two of them and ignores eyewitness reports to the contrary? Is it possible that the man in charge of the military that day, acting head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Myers, saw the first tower hit on television and then went into a meeting where he remained unaware of what was happening for the next 40 minutes? Is it possible, as the commission reports, that the FAA did not inform the military that the fourth airplane appeared to have been hijacked, contrary to both common sense and the word of FAA employees? Is it possible that the report, upon which are based recommendations for overhauling the nation's intelligence, is it possible that the report fails to mention, even in a footnote, the most serious allegations made public by Colleen Rowley, FBI whistleblower and Time Magazine Person of the Year? Well, there's more, but if you want this book, the one by David Ray Griffin, Omissions and Distortions, about the 9/11 Commission Report, just go to tvnewslies.org and make a donation, and you'll get it free. Obama was at a town hall meeting in Mexico today. Ostensibly, he was covering a lot of stuff, but came time to take questions from the audience. And the first question came from a woman who asked.
My name's Linda Alice.
Well, hold on a minute. Came from a woman who asked about single. Can't ever say that. Single payer. Healthcare, and about the the crappy Senator Baucus. He's the guy that had the people arrested in his little toy hearing the other day. This is the first voice you hear, of course, is Linda Allison.
My name's Linda Allison. I work for one of the large corporations here, but I talk to a lot of people about health care. My question is, so many people go bankrupt using their credit cards to pay for health care. Why have they taken single payer off the plate? And why is Senator Baucus on the Finance Committee discussing health care when he has received so much money from the pharmaceutical companies? Isn't it a conflict of interest?
Well, the well, for those of you who don't know, a single-payer system is like Medicare is sort of a single-payer system, but it's only for people over 65. And the way it works is the idea is that you don't have insurance companies as middlemen. The government goes directly and pays doctors or nurses. If I were starting a system from scratch,
now listen,
then I think that the idea of moving towards a single-payer system could very well make sense. That's the kind of system that you have in most industrialized countries around the world.
Uh-huh.
The only problem is that we're not starting from scratch. We have historically a tradition of employer-based health care. And although there are a lot of people who are not satisfied with their health care, the truth is that the vast majority of people currently get health care from their employers, and you've got the system that's already in place.
Oh.
We don't want a huge disruption as we go into health care reform where suddenly we're trying to completely reinvent one-sixth of the economy. So what I've said is, let's set up a system where if you already have health care through your employer and you're happy with it, you don't have to change doctors, you don't have to change plans. Nothing changes. If you don't have health care, or you're highly unsatisfied with your health care, then let's give you choices, let's give you an options, including a public plan that you could enroll in and sign up for. That's been my proposal.
Now, Barack Obama is slicker than I think a lot of us are willing to admit, and I'm not using the term slick in a negative way at all. There's a part of me that hopes, wants to believe that Barack Obama understands fully what is arrayed against him in terms of corporate America, the health, pharmaceutical industrial complex, the military industrial complex, these filthy pigs in the Republican Party, the brain dead Americans who have about as much political awareness as a sack of doorknobs. I am still willing to give Obama, awful lot of room to maneuver and negotiate. I think whenever he speaks that people who are opposed to his policy should be out there in front of the hall or wherever picketing. I completely agree with that. Absolutely. But when I listen to what he has to say and then see it in print and parse it, I come up with some pretty interesting things. He says if we were starting a system from scratch, and I think the idea of moving toward a single-payer system could very well make sense. That's the kind of system you have in most industrialized countries around the world. And then he gives his reasons why we can't do that right now. I am not a whatever it would take to take that statement apart. I'm not a medical statistician. I don't have that kind of knowledge, education, background. So maybe that statement is correct. But when he says we don't want a huge disruption as we go into healthcare reform where suddenly we're trying to completely reinvent one-sixth of the economy, that line is straight out of the Harry and Louise commercials from back in 1993, when the pharmaceutical industrial complex and the medical industrial complex pulled out every weapon they could come up with to torpedo Hillary Clinton's healthcare reform plan, which, granted, was not a great boon for the American consumer. Because Hillary Clinton's plan continued the use of private health care, private insurance companies. It just brought them under scrutiny, which they did not want then and do not want now. And you know why? Because the sons of bitches, these companies are not in business to provide health care. They are in business to deny payment of charges that their insurance policyholders think are due them. That's what they are in business to do, to make a profit, and to do everything in their power to deny a claim. But then he says something that is towards the end of that soundbite. He says this: if you don't have health care, or you're highly unsatisfied with your health care, then let's give you choices. Let's give you options. And here it comes. Including a public plan that you could enroll in and sign up for. Well, a public plan? That's single-payer health care. Right? So what he is doing, obviously, is scaring the bejesus out of the health care industry. That's why you're not seeing any Harry and Louise commercials, because these rancid sons of bitches know that if the choice is between what Barack Obama calls a public plan you could enroll in and what they are offering, where do you think the American consumer is going to go?
Oh, myself in a boat on a river with tangerine trees and marmalade skies. Somebody calls you, you answer quite slowly. A girl with kaleidoscope eyes. Celebrated flowers of yellow and green, towering over your head. Look for the girl with the sun in her eyes, and she's gone. Lucy in the sky with diamonds.
Twenty-one past the hour. So you know, not to get all slick or anything. And besides, what Obama's talking about here, as Kathy points out, is basically the John Edwards plan. And several years ago, Kathy writes, Tom Hartman asked John Edwards if, you know, offering a choice of a public plan, if that would cause people to choose the government plan, to which Edwards replied with the equivalent of, well, duh. As Kathy writes, I'm hoping that Obama knows that opposing the private healthcare industry will be just as disastrous now as it was in 1993. But offering a choice? Why, that seems so American. So here's what you have to be careful of, Truth Seeker, and the commercials are already out there. Because even choice is, obviously the government plan is going to be cheaper. It's going to be like Medicare. The administrative cost, what is the administration cost for Medicare? About 2 or 3%. What is the administration cost, the profit motive in private health care plans? Anywhere from 15 to 30%? Who pays that? Who pays the profit fat that's inside? Who pays that? 3, 2, 1. That's right. We do. So, let's not sell Obama short here. I think there is going to be, and it's already started, a supreme effort to treat what Obama calls as the public plan with a mountain of disdain. The commercials are already running about, do you want a government doctor? Do you want the government to tell you where you'll have to get your prescription? Do you want the government to say you can't have a treatment? Well, you sons of bitches, that's already happening, only it's not the government. It's you, the private health care plans. And yet, they're going to put this out there. See, they're going to say it. Well, now, you know, private medicine is the best medicine. Yeah, just like your grandmammy gets because she's on Medicare. That's right. That's a public plan. So, you know, before those of us on the left start stamping our feet and folding our arms and sticking it out our lower lips with a great big pout about what Barack Obama's not doing, how long has he been in office? Let's see what happens. Now, regarding the woman who asked the question, Linda Allison, a local resident in Rio Rancho, New Mexico, she was contacted by the Institute for Public Accuracy today, and this is what she said, quote, I asked the president why they were excluding single-payer from health care reform. We have this convoluted system where veterans get one system, Indians get another. There's Medicare, Medicaid, and, of course, many employees get coverage from their companies. Why not just cover everyone under one plan? I see people, she says, without health care, like my son. He served in Iraq and Afghanistan as a reservist. He's in college now and he doesn't have health insurance. There are people who work who don't have coverage, or their children don't have coverage. Why should having health care be tied to your employment? It's pretty clear to me, she says, but Obama seems to be for a plan. It's pretty unclear to me, she says, but Obama seems to be for a plan that would leave the insurance companies in a dominant position, and we really need to get them out. Obama said that single payer would be good if we were starting from scratch. Well, I think things are pretty bad, so we should start from scratch. But actually, A single-payer system is basically like expanding Medicare to include everyone. So we have a model just waiting for us to use. I recently learned that in Taiwan, they looked around the world for a system and they decided they would copy our Medicare and use it to cover all their people there. Why don't we do that? And the other part of my question, which Obama didn't respond to, was about Max Baucus, the chairman of the Senate Finance Committee, and about how he's chairing the hearings while he's taken all this money from the insurance companies. I asked him if that wasn't a conflict of interest. End quote, Linda Allison. And the Institute for Public Accuracy says, according to the Center for Responsive Politics, Baucus's top funders include political action committees associated with the American International Group, that's AIG, Goldman Sachs, New York Life, and Blue Cross Blue Shield. Why, of course. There is not, I don't want to make too broad of a generalization here, but there is probably not a member of the House or the Senate, Democrat or Republican, that has not received tons of money from the medical industrial complex and all of its tentacles, whether it is medical equipment, medical procedures, the pharmaceuticals, for-profit hospitals, manufacturers of MRI machines. I mean, the corruption of our Congress is damn near complete and total. It is owned outright pretty much by corporate America, and especially the defense industry and the pharmaceutical medical industrial complex. So when Barack Obama slips in a line that says, well, you know, there'll be a public system and then maybe people can choose, maybe it's because Barack Obama really wants to see single-payer health care. He kind of stated that today, didn't he? But he understands what he's up against. What do you think?
A change is gonna come. I said I know. A change is gonna come.
Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
25 before the hour. Steve the banker sent this email in reference to that soundbite we played of Obama. Steve writes, what Obama just said about single payer just doesn't make sense. We don't want a big disruption. We have a big disruption of health care. Now. Because healthcare is not working. It's a failure, including for me. That soundbite is dripping of special interests. I don't want anything but single-payer healthcare. I'm tired of the Democrats who are protecting the status quo. Steve. Well, yeah, and I certainly agree with the criticism of the Democrats who are protecting the status quo. Yeah, which is probably every Democrat in Congress. With maybe one or two notable exceptions, huh? But again, Steve, isn't it possible that Obama understands, look, you know, again, this is a young guy. This is a guy who's had to learn certain survival skills that a lot of politicians don't have to learn. I mean, duh. Look at him. Look who he is. Look what he's done. How old is he? 47? 48? Please. And knowing what he knows and with the advisors that he has, I imagine, and in strictly imagination, I imagine Barack Obama and probably Michelle Obama and some of his key advisors sitting around at night in the inner sanctum of the White House in the family quarters where you know, after having had the room completely swept to make sure that there are no recording devices or cameras put in there by the CIA or the DIA or Cheney. And the conversation drifts around the reality that Barack Obama has people out here who want to shoot him, just as surely as there were people who wanted to shoot Kennedy and King, both Kennedys, and George Wallace, and, well, you know. So here's Barack Obama. He has an, if he wanted to draw up a so-called enemies list like Nixon had, he, my God, it would probably be 10 times as long as Nixon's and 100% more, based in reality or reality based. I don't think Barack Obama is a corporatist. I just don't. Maybe he is. I just don't think at this point that he is of the same mold as the members of Congress. I realize, you know, his contributors list, his, where he's gotten money. I understand. That is our political system. I'm not justifying it or rationalizing it. I'm just stating its reality. But what if Barack Obama has an agenda that is socially progressive to a greater degree than anyone since Roosevelt? How long has he been in office? 110 days? 115? Huh? And if he does, and if he and his advisors sit around and talk about the forces arrayed against him, what's the best way for him to proceed? Is Barack Obama a phony? Is all that stuff he said during the campaign, was it all fake? Is he just another lying son of a bitch who would say anything to get elected? Is he? Or is he different from that? Obviously, he is a family man with a couple of kids. Obviously, like most people, regardless of their age, he doesn't want to be terminated with extreme prejudice. So, what's the man to do? What's to do? I know what I want him to do. I want him to slash and burn. I want him to order Eric Holder to investigate the Bush crime family. I want him to close. I want him to go to Guantanamo. I want him to walk on to Camp Victory or whatever the hell it's called with an acetylene torch and burn the goddamn place down. You know, I want to see him go over to Abu Ghraib and just kick ass and take names. I want to see him fire people like Petraeus and Odierno and the rest of these people. I want to see him put somebody like Wesley Clark in charge of everything. I want to see him get out there and declare that the biggest rapacious group of thugs in the history of this country after the so-called military industrial complex is the health industrial complex. Yes, I want to see him do all of this. I want to see him declare voting machines illegal and have them piled in a huge heap and set on fire with napalm. Yeah! I want to see him say, get the goddamn troops out of Afghanistan and Iraq tomorrow! That's what I like to see. But then I'm just some crazy radio talk show host who has policies and ideas that are left of center. I'm not a leftist. I'm a lefty. There's a difference. I'm a social democrat, which means I subscribe to the ideas of social democracy. Or, you ready? Democratic socialism. So what's a guy like me to do? Now, I criticize Obama, and we'll continue to do so. But, you know, is there some other plan at work here, something that some person like me, so far removed from Barack Obama's plans, is to render my existence almost the period at the end of a sentence? What do I know? What do you know? What do we know? Well, we've got eyes and we've got brains and we can see what's going on and we can make conclusions. But what if they're the wrong conclusions? What if you know, just like this move on the right now to demonize Nancy Pelosi, you know, I'm right there, man. Hey, I'm right there. Nancy Pelosi. She's the one that set impeachment's off the table. It's her goddamn fault. Okay. That's right. That's true. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Uh-huh. But what if Nancy Pelosi is right? Supposing, what if Bob Graham is right? What if, you know, what if these people are right? What if they know things we don't know? What if they're in a position where they're terrified? What if they're trying to make changes the best they can? I don't know. You know, maybe not. Maybe they're all duplicitous, lying, sneaky bastards who don't care about us, don't care about the country. They just want to maintain their positions of power and have a paycheck and health insurance and yada, yada, yada. But supposing that's not the case, supposing this president really is what we thought he was during the campaign, supposing he is, what if he is? What if this is his way? These town meetings where it gives him a chance to say, well, now, you know, if we were starting from scratch, I would advocate for single-payer health care. That's what most industrialized countries in the West have, and it makes a lot of sense. And we already have it. It's called Medicare, but it's only for folks over the age of 65. But you know what my plan is? To have public health care available, and you have your choice. I mean, is he saying that because, A, he believes it, and, B, he understands the power of the corporations waiting for him to slip? Just waiting. I'm going to go with that because I don't have any choice. I'm not ready. I've said this before. I'm not ready to give up hope. I'm not ready to leave the country. I'm not ready to say the fascist pig bastards won. I want to be around when Rush Limbaugh chokes to death on his own neck fat. I want to see Hannity and Beck and the rest of these bastards shamed to the point where they have to leave the radio business. I want to see the right wingers in the Republican Party, which is all of them. I want to see them go down in flames. I want to see every one of these sons of bitches marginalized and defeated. I want to see the Democrats who are snakes and liars and stinkers in the Democratic Party that hold elective office pushed out. I want to stick around long enough to see this. I've got hope. And I'm not about to just write Barack Obama off and say, oh, God damn, just another lying politic. No, no, ain't going to do it. Can't. Because if I do that, then I have to sit down and have a chat with myself and say, okay, then why are you staying here? What's your point? Why are you staying in your little radio job? Why are you staying in your little compound in the hills of the North Georgia mountains? Why are you staying in America? You know, pack up your family and your stuff and get the hell out of Dodge. What's the point, Malloy? So, you know, I'm not ready to do that. I really am not. I'll do the best I can to apply whatever pressure I think is correct from the position of this little radio program on the Obama administration and these filthy Democrats who are doing nothing to help him. But give up hope? No. Not yet. Not yet. And I would imagine you feel sort of the same if you're a Democrat, if you're, you know, if you are... if you're a Democrat.
Time I turn on the TV,
there's hope.
Somebody's acting crazy,
there's hope.
You let it, it'll drive you crazy,
there's hope.
I'm taking back my power today,
there's hope.
Gas prices, they just keep on rising,
there's hope.
The government, they keep on life. We gotta keep on surviving, keep living our truth and do the best we can.
Don't make it bad, take a sad song.
La 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 la.
had you.
Yeah, that song, that one in particular, just how many times I listened to that, just absolutely ripped. I mean, just ripped. Absolutely. Turn it up a little bit. I mean, ripped. R-I-P-P-E-D. All right, it's 9 before the... Boy, those were the days, my friend. We thought they'd never end. Oh, but they did, didn't they? Man, had to give it all up. Everything. Daryl in Montgomery, Alabama writes, Mike, I agree with you. Obama knows what he's up against. There are Democrats who are owned by the companies you named as Republicans. During the campaign, Obama often repeated the story about his mother fighting with the insurance company in the final months of her life, so he has to have a problem with the private system. However, he knows fighting for its end is futile when so much of Congress is in bed with the medical industrial complex. Yeah, and I really believe that. And, Daryl just puts it out there in pretty plain, concise language. He knows what he's up against. So I've got to, I'm sorry, you know, a lot of people are going, oh, come on. Come on. You're crazy. He surrounded himself with corporatists. He's done this. He's done that. Yeah, you're right. He has. He's taken money from the enemy. He has people advising him who, you and I have written off as, neo-fascist corporatists whose only interest is, converting this country as quickly as possible to anything other than a social democracy. Yeah, I understand. But I am not ready to write this man off as just another corporate Democrat. Can't do it. All right. I need to share with you my missive from Prairie 2 tonight. If you don't look down, you can walk on air. It says in the subject line, he writes, last week's unemployment claims were up substantially, reversing a one-week trend of slight improvement. The number of people filing continuing claims increased at an even faster rate, making the outlook for jobs especially gloomy. And something really gloomy, people going back to school for retraining can expect to take a 15 to 20% cut in pay on average from their previous job if, and increasingly it's a big if they can find a job in the new field. One of the many crises trying to elbow its way to the front of the pack among the host of things trying to bring down civilization is a potential wave of defaults from bond insurers. It's worse than just the people who hold bonds not getting paid if they go bad. The failure of an insurer of an otherwise good bond usually puts the bond into default and can trigger the bankruptcy of the original issuer of bonds, starting yet another wave of collapses. And the federal government is on the hook for covering a lot of these bonds because of risk-sharing agreements. Not that they have much choice given the potential damage. Cities, states, municipalities, and an alphabet soup of government service districts that have issued trillions of dollars in bonds and need to be issuing new bonds to aid the recovery. The crisis is, of course, driving up the interest rates these local government agencies must pay. It all comes back to the millions of formerly middle-class factory workers who are now unemployed and will stay unemployed under current trade policies. Declining revenue, increased need for services, abandoned properties coming off the tax rolls, and on and on and on. Nothing has been done to break the cycle. Pundits keep talking about a bottom, but a bottom is not in the offing. Those insane trade, Republican trade policies left over from Reagan and Bush 1 and Bill Clinton and Bush 2 are still in place and still yanking the bottom out from under us. Maybe if we don't look down, maybe we can walk on air like in the cartoons. Prairie 2. Go to his website, prairienumeral2.com. Man. Past few days, a week or so, of course, my interest in things economic have really been placed on a side burner, because I have been so caught up and shocked, as well as fascinated, I have to admit it, with the revelations coming out about the depth of depravity that this filthy bastard Dick Cheney took this country into. I mean, he has been an easy target for the past 8 years, obviously, but making himself visible now as he makes the rounds of any outlet, Jesus Christ, he's going to start showing up at gas station openings or car dealership closings to make his claim, to get some publicity, to convince everybody, no, I didn't do anything wrong.
I didn't do anything wrong. I saved America, and if Barack Obama continues his policies, you mark my words, there's going to, you know, those missing nuclear bombs, remember those? Well, let me tell you something, Sparky. I've got two of them. Mess with me, and guess what? Boom. Just like that. Boom.
I wouldn't put it past him. He's a traitor, and he's a coward, and he's a bully, and he's a son of a bitch. Dick Cheney, Vice President of the United States of America, huh? I'll see you tomorrow night. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy.